Welcome back to Small Town Talk. This week we talk with Brandon and Jordan, owners of V and Vin in downtown Edmonds. We learn how they started and everything you'd ever want to know about wine and cards. So take a listen and enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us. So today we have the owners of V and Vin, and they are going to tell us a little bit about their startup.
Yeah.
So give us first a little bit about your background and what brought you to this concept of what you have started.
For sure. So I have a marketing background, and Brandon has been in wealth management in a variety of different roles. So we do not have a retail or wine background whatsoever, but it's just always been kind of like a passion, specifically for Brandon. He's the wine geek. But I think the concept kind of started. We have a very favorite store up in the San Juan Islands called Pebble. And it's like the highlight of our trip. When we go into that shop, it's just like welcoming. It's like the perfect store. You walk in, you can like find the perfect thing for everyone you know. And we always had this idea of like, what if we could have our own version of that? Like a store, but it's also a wine shop. You can find cars. And so when we moved to Edmonds in 2021, Brandon grew up here, but kind of coming back, especially coming out of the pandemic, so we were like, I feel like now's the time. Like Edmonds has such a vibrant retail core.
Yeah.
But we were like, what if we could be part of kind of the next evolution? And as, you know, coming out of the pandemic, people were like craving
social interaction.
Yes.
Want
to go
social
interaction.
Exactly. Really got a good taste for wine.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But so we were like, what if we focused on the things that are really like tactile? Like you want to pick up the candle and smell it. You want to look at the greeting card. You want to have the glass of wine. So we kind of just decided to jump into it.
And for me, it was really important. Like the wine side of it was exciting to me to share, but it was the approachability of it. Being able to experience wine with somebody in a shop, even if you don't know anything about it, like we welcome all. And like, that's the idea behind it. It's like build the community around this really cool product in our minds and the space that's welcoming to everybody. And so I think our whole like laser focus on, if we're going to talk about wine, it's going to be at a real level. It's going to be how we want to talk about wine and learn about it. And it doesn't have to be anything more than that, unless you want it to be. So I think that's just kind of a main focus for us. It's like, welcome all, let's learn about it. Let's create more community and experience than anything else.
Yeah. Because when we found that space, we're somewhere around Sunset, and we walked in there and we were like, wow, this is amazing. So Edmonds, like we can see the ferry coming in, but it was big. And we're like, okay, what do we do with that? And kind of that's where we immediately went to like, okay, we've got space for the community. So then so we started thinking about like, we're going to do classes, we're going to do events. And it's been really cool to see how the shop has kind of evolved, like as we see what people want. They want more couches.
So. They want more couches. They want more glasses of wine.
Yeah.
You know, we found that out there in the wine market. People want couches to sit down and drink their wine.
They do. And we're like, okay, we should do that. More couches.
Chairs, couches.
Yeah.
So what kind of classes are you doing?
What's the next one you're teaching?
So I do a set we call France in the Glass, kind of all over France. I split up into four. The last one I have here is Champagne and Alsace, so kind of northeastern France. And again, it's that like, I won't call it just 101, but it's the basics and intro into those different wines that you've never had before. Yeah. Something special about those wines, and then some of the details around it. So we do wine related classes like that. Mm-hmm. But then we've also focused, I think, primarily on wine as like a sidecar to a class where it's a candle making class,
jewelry, wreath
making during the holidays, things like that, where it's, again, building the community of people to come together. But then I get a little spiel on wine, they can have a glass and kind of go that route. So it's always kind of wine adjacent. But that's kind of what we've been doing so far. And then the event spaces.
And I think one thing I love about the way you've been doing the wine classes is we try to be really clear about like, yes, we can geek out on like history and we will geek out on the history, but like you show the label, right? And you're like, here's why you should learn about French wine so that you can walk into a store and look at this label that's in a different language and that can feel really intimidating and know how to find what you want. Because that's what we all want, right? You want to look at the wine menu, you want to look at the shelf and figure out is this something I will want to drink? Like that's
and then the wine cert comes over and you're like, yeah, I'm looking for a note of
right.
Exactly. I can never pronounce a wine. I'm just like, right. I'm just pointing like this
one. Yeah, this one here.
Exactly.
And that seems like it's an okay bottle.
Yeah. Right.
That's like very much our vibe of like, we've all had that experience walking into a store or looking at a menu and just being like, I don't know what I'm looking for. Like all the words have left.
And like the worst question in the world is like, can I help you? And you're like, absolutely not. No. Don't talk to me about this.
Yeah.
I feel like that's every time I go to a restaurant, I like looking at a wine menu, especially like if you're like, or like say Canlis, right? And they have this wine menu. It's just like
100 pages.
Long. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm looking at. You know? Like I've never paid attention. I know enough about wine, but you know, I'm just like, just tell me what I should get.
Yes.
Right. You know, I need you to tell me. So I don't have something bad.
That's what we love kind of talking to our customers about. Like, you know, it's like anything else. I think we assume that we should like know a bunch about wine, but you're like, there's a lot. It's complicated, but there are hacks to like figuring out. What do you like? How do you describe that kind of wine? So you can tell the wine steward, like, I'm looking for this. And they're like, great, I got you.
Yeah.
Or how do you decode a label? Like it's like anything else. And I think that turns it into more of like, it becomes more fun.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't have to be.
And you leave with
a little bit more knowledge than you started with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you decide what wines and how do you source them?
Yeah. So my passion started in France. Mm-hmm. And so our niche is really kind of French Pacific Northwest, which has a lot of French varietals and styles. So a lot of Washington, Oregon and French wines. And then every now and again, we'll bring in a Georgian wine, a Slovenian wine. We do have a good amount of Italian wine for sure and Spanish. But I'm really staying true to kind of like where my passions lie, what I want to share with the community, which is these really amazing French wines that aren't just Bordeaux or just Burgundy. Like there's incredible stuff all over France.
And they're all small, independent, family-owned producers.
Yeah, that's a big thing for us too.
These are, I mean, you look at our shelves and you're like, this is people's passion. Like nobody's in this for the bottom line. It's there really is so much like love behind each of these producers. Yeah. And that was really important to you too, is kind of like every bottle we wanted like a story to go with it. Like if you're bringing something to a dinner party, you want to be able to like have a little something to say about it. Like, oh, this is a super cool bottle. It's made by this family XYZ. And so that's, I think, a big part of your kind of sourcing strategy is like something's going to come into our shelves. One, we want to like believe in the producer, and two, have an interesting story that we can pass on to our customers.
Yeah.
They can share it too.
Yeah, and I work with probably 5 or 6 importers and distributors. Primarily, I think we have access to a lot of different ones, but these 5 or 6 have really honed in on kind of like our vibe. What am I looking for? Like things like sustainably farmed, like people who are thinking about agriculture in a way that is going to be regenerative, or it's going to be kind of future thinking about the way they farm. Like that's important to us. Or like this is their family, you know, livelihood, and I want to share that story.
Yeah.
So those folks have really kind of keyed in on that as part of our screen to bring wine in.
Our distributors are amazing.
Yeah.
Like they're really like, they've really figured out kind of, oh, I get what you guys are trying to do. Yep. And again, as you branch out of France to the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. Some of that has been from our distributors. We're
100%.
Like, gotta try this wine. And we're like, okay, we're
because it kind of starts
learning
like
the
all
time.
The time.
We can do it.
Yeah. Because it starts with like the core value of like, here's what we want, but then like it gets me out of that rut of like, you know, just I can get in a rut just like any other wine drinker. Yeah, like, I'm digging this right now. So I start buying that. But yeah, that's been a fun experience.
Well, and it's been cool to hear from customers like what they're interested in, what they're looking for. And in the shop, our wines are all arranged by body. So rather than like region, like here's all our Italian wines or varietal, here's all our Cab Sauv. Most of us know kind of the body or what a wine feels like in your mouth. And you feel like, I'm a Pinot person. Okay, it's a light bodied red. Or like, I want a big, bold Cab.
Mm-hmm.
And that translates so much better to food pairing too. So when someone comes in and they're like, I'm making this and I want a wine that goes with it, we're able to walk the store with them and say like, okay, you're kind of looking in this zone. And then we can kind of talk across regions and talk across varietals, which has been really fun. Cause I think it helps people shake out of that feeling like they need to walk into the store and be like, I know how to pronounce this word.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Really, it's a great place for people to come and learn just like, things they need to know about.
Yeah.
Well,
that was the,
pressure.
other piece that was, we're technically a tavern. And that was really important to us so that we could do wine by the glass all the time. So that way if people come in and they're like, I don't know what I'm looking for, we're like, okay, great, let me pour you a splash of something. Like, here's our tasting menu. We talk a little bit about, the body language and like help them kind of hone in on what they're looking for. But then that's also kind of helped, we've become a place where people like have regular weekly meetings or a glass of wine. And we're like, oh, that's so awesome. I don't think we could have anticipated that before we started.
I definitely think the initial thought of the shop was come in, buy a gift, and maybe have a glass of wine as you're walking the store.
Yeah.
Where it is, the people have definitely spoken. It is flipped where it's like they come in with their friends, hang out, have a glass or two, and then shop the store. Like, just us kind of leaning into what they are needing has been super fun. Because again, our vision was one thing, but to be able to adapt and be like, yeah, that's, again, at the core, we want to build a community. So what does the community want?
Yeah.
And to get that support from them, those repeats, folks who come in just because they feel comfortable. They know they can have a chat with my dad who works a lot of the time and just hangs out.
Shout out to Harry.
Yeah. it's just, it's been fun to build that.
Yeah. Well, and it definitely makes us feel really lucky because Edmunds is just like, I'm not sure we could have had this experience 18 months into opening a small business in a place that's not as welcoming as Edmunds is. Like, from
community driven. From the events to just how the community interacts with each other and takes care of each other, I think it really speaks to
totally
lending itself to a business like yours and having it be successful.
Yeah.
And then the gift part, how do you decide what to put in? Because I feel like that could go in so many ways.
Yes. My really official sourcing strategy is I just find things that sort of tickle my fancy. But we started by kind of, I think you mentioned, like kind of thinking about like wine adjacent gifting. So we're like, okay, yeah, it could go in so many different ways. So we try to think about like the occasion. And that often kind of ties to a broader line, like, okay, we're doing housewarmings or it's a baby shower or a birthday, like things you want to grab a bottle and a great card and something, to go with it. So that was kind of our original strategy. And I think that's kind of stayed primarily the same. Of course, it's been kind of fun to see like, okay, people really want more of this or that. For me personally, the greeting cards are like my area of personal passion. And that's been really fun to
shop build definitely out. Started like wine and only. Definitely had the potential to be that.
That and kind of this idea of like gift baskets. So you started with this gift basket bar, again, thinking about like wine, kind of thought we've got the, charcuterie, the plate, like all these things you could create. And that's been really fun because that's led to kind of getting connected with people who are doing client gifts or holiday gifts. And that's really fun just to kind of be like a one-stop shop and kind of be a place where you can just come and check that thing off.
Yeah.
And can people can they come in and be like, hey, can you put this together for me?
Yes,
I don't absolutely. Here's what my friends kind of like.
Totally. Yeah.
Do it all the time.
Yeah.
I think one of the cool things is like, give us an idea, give us a budget. We'll put it together. You come and tweak, take one thing out, put another thing in, and away you go. So it takes your time down to nothing, and you have this really cool, like, personalized experience.
Yeah.
And so we work with a lot of individuals who do that for one-off gifts. But then, like you were saying, like, we have a lot of folks who are like, holidays. I have 17 employees, and I want them each out of a basket. Here's kind of my idea. Yeah. And then we just run with it. And that's been super
fun. It's really great for you guys. You're like, okay, let's go.
We can do that.
It's amazing, yeah.
And then how do you source the gifts? Because I feel like, are you looking for like specific local companies or is there like a distributor? I have no idea. So
neither did we.
I think we're coming into this at an interesting time because I think we started and we went to the kind of the showrooms and there's so many great people who are, distributors for a bunch of different brands and reps. And so that's one way that we sourced our products. And then there's a relatively new platform called Fair that I think is kind of trying to be like the Etsy of wholesale. So a lot of small individual makers kind of can have their own wholesale platform on this bigger system.
Gotcha.
And that has been a great way for us to just kind of browse. It's made it very accessible to say like, okay, I'm looking for this and kind of read about the brand story and you can filter by values. And that is important to us as we try to, as much as we can, to kind of start by finding something local, women owned as much as I can. And that just kind of aligns with what we believe in. Like you said, sustainability and these things that we're like, I want the products in our store to feel like us. And that has not been hard. Like there's just so many incredible artists and makers and people who are pouring all their love and energy into making beautiful things. And I'm like, I was
surprised at how, I mean, it's a process to go through that, but to find local makers, but also finding makers in France, finding makers in other areas, being very specific. And we do this with the wine side too. We're very focused on women-led wineries, women-led wine productions, women-led makers, like promoting, again, those stories as much as we can. Not like we have a massive platform, but, you know, I mean, it's a shop in a town that people patronize. So it's like, that is something that I was like, wow, we could actually, what we had set out to do, we could actually do, thankfully, with this platform.
Yeah. We've also been part of the Art Walk Edmonds at Beacon, which has been really cool. Again, when we kind of walked into this big space with these big walls, we're like, okay, how do we use this space to bring in the community? And that has been such an incredible way. And they've been such a great, you know, supporter of kind of welcoming us into that part of the Edmonds community. Yeah. And there's the artists that we've been able to feature. It's been a really great way because usually we'll do events with them or classes. And it's just been kind of a nice organic way to grow our community and, I mean, expose people to something that we're passionate about.
That's awesome. So where do you, I mean, is there anything like, seeing that you guys are relatively newer space, is there anything that like your goal down the line to become or be or incorporate?
It's a good question. Yeah.
I think the small shop feel is very important to us. I mean, I think that personal connection to each customer, specifically like with us to those customers, I don't want that to ever get too far away. I want to be involved in this shop to the extent that people come in on a Friday and we're going to be there. We're going to hang out. We're going to have those same conversations. The goal for us is not to build an investment and get away. It's very much to be a part of this community because that's our focus. I think the things I see for the future is how do we expand on our event space? How do we expand on people coming to the shop to have those experiences that are outside the quick buy, you know, hop out because they bought a gift. Love that all day long. But I think as we grow and as we get more eyeballs on us, it's expanding the events. And we have a really killer wine club. And I think that's the piece for us is building the wine club, which has gone, you know, incredibly well for the first 16, 18 months that we've been open. But every time people come in, like, oh, you have a wine club. And being able to showcase wines that I love Winville. I love our Washington producers. And they can go grab those. And I want to send them there. But there's another option, too, to experience, you know, old world wine in a spot that you would never really be able to. So expanding that exposure for me is important. And just that, you know, we were having a call this morning with a really, really influential person in our world in wine. Start building out those partnerships and connections of classes and education.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, the education. I think we're sort of at this interesting tipping point with the wine industry where there's so many other options, right? If you're just looking for an alcoholic beverage, you've got lots of choices. Absolutely. And so just helping kind of promote that conversation that like wine is more like, to me, it's more like delicious food, right? When you think about it, it's like you can just go eat for sustenance and that would be one way of living. Or you can be a foodie and think about where does your food come from and who's the chef behind this and what does the restaurant feel like when you're there? Like it could be more part of the experience. And kind of, helping people think about wine education by removing the intimidation factor and just be like, this is fun. Like, just come learn about history and art and all of these things come together in a bottle of wine. And that it can be something, you can be a beginner and that's fine. Like, it's totally fine to be a beginner about wine because, you know, the wine.
It doesn't have to be $100.
Right. Yeah. You know, you can find something delicious once you know what you're looking for at a budget. Yeah.
And that's with the wine club. So what are the details about the wine club? Like what, I mean, because obviously like there's a lot of wine clubs around, but most of them are like I feel like, you know, it's just a local, so like Washington wines, right? You don't ever have like a lot of selection of wines from outside of Washington at clubs. So like kind of what's the deal?
One of the cool things. So our wine club is quarterly and you can choose between 3 bottles or 6 bottles and reds only or a mix. And I think that is, I mean, we've belonged to lots of wine clubs and winery or based wine clubs are amazing. You do get, they only create so many different
wines. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and it's just amazing.
The new year.
Yeah.
Amazing. Did the fire get to it or not?
How did 2020 get? Yeah, it's
only different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which can be amazing if it's a winery that you're like, I always love these wines. But what's cool is we have so much flexibility. So we can say like, okay, and you're bag of 6 wines, you're going to get this huge breadth of regions, of types of wines, and the notes that we put together kind of give you that story about the producer and give you a recipe pairing. So we just try to make it the kind of educational value as high as we can. And I think, Brandon, you do a great job of kind of finding like these are accessible wines. If you try something and you love it, like you can come back to the store and grab a bottle. Like it's we want it to be something that fuels your next wine drinking experience.
And I think, we've been a part of wine clubs for a long time as well. But little things like bubbles, right? So I think not a lot of winemakers here at Pacific Northwest, I think it's starting to become a thing, but the access to that is just not as great. And to be able to showcase some of those nuances, being very seasonal with it. So we have the flexibility to say, this wine club, I'm going to do 3 whites and a rosé versus maybe in the fall, I might do more reds and just kind of flex with that. And the benefit of being a small wine shop too is someone can email us and be like, all right, this club, I want, to switch it. Like, great. You got it. Like, we can be super flexible, which I definitely found people love. I think the main thing is being able to showcase wines from regions people either have never heard of or maybe you've heard of but never been able to experience wines, and then come back and be like, can I get that again? And I'm not having to fight with a big box shop to find a lower probably quality wine, but really support a smaller business, and not just ours but the winemaker as well.
And it's been really fun. We do a quarterly release party, so our members can come out and re-pour all the wines. So like, let's say you're just signing up for our 3-bottle red club, you can still come and try the rest of the bottles too, which has been really fun. And it's been a great way to kind of, like, we had the new trio truck at our last event, which was super fun. So we just tried to do something different. We've done a cheese pairing. Just trying to make it kind of an easy way to come in, taste everything.
Meet fellow club members.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Again, it's that point of community, right? Yeah, like,
absolutely.
Oh, you're in the club too? Like, we can chat about, we have these really cool groups that are their own wine tasting clubs. Yeah. And so they'll call us and say, hey, we're hosting our November wine tasting as our group of 12. Can you talk us through like the wines to choose? And so that's kind of like a part of the wine club is a consultative like piece to me at any time. I mean, it's not like I wouldn't do it for a lot of people, but it's a very more focused, and I'll actually walk them through all the wines and pour for them if they want. And so having access to that is also kind of fun.
And what ignited the passion?
Why?
Man. And likewise, weighing the passion for cards.
I know.
Yeah.
I think about that one. Yeah.
Well, wine tastes pretty good. So I like that. No, I mean, I think for me, I was drinking wine with her sister, who's a few years older than we are. She was introducing us to wine that we had no business like drinking.
In our early 20s.
Yeah.
But it struck me because I had this bottle. And I remember the bottle was from Chinon in the Loire Valley. It was a Cab Franc. And I was like, this is so different than anything else I've had, but it's a red wine. Don't red wines kind of just like taste like red wine? And it sent me down this spiral of like geography, history, culture. And I was like, oh, that it just clicked with me. Like, oh, that's what wine is. It's a fermented juice, but it's everything else.
It's all the context around it.
Exactly.
Soil.
Yeah.
And like the rabbit hole you can get into is insane, right? I mean, nuts. I'm sure there are a lot of other areas like that, but wine to me just clicked. And it was something.
Especially with a couple trips to France.
I might not have moved back a few times.
Yeah, we went to Bordeaux and I was like, oh, I think Brandon's just going to like disappear into the fields. I'm going to have to leave him here.
See you in a couple months.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it was one of those things where like, I just kind of knew right away that that was the thing that clicked with me.
Because you've always been like a history kind of a guy. And I feel like, then being in France, in the place where you're like, oh, this is somebody's winery that's been in their family since the 1700s. You're like, this is cool. It's personal.
We're in this town, Saint-Emilion in Bordeaux. And we go into this family's cellar, Chateau Gaudet. And there's a bottle from the 1200s. It's like, is it good? Don't know. But do we have it? Yes. And it's, you know, it's dust. And you're like, that concept of something has been produced and has stayed there for 800 years. Like, I can't wrap my head around half of that, right? Like, that's crazy. And so I just I need to learn more about this.
Yeah. And I think for me, actually, there's kind of like this crossover. So the greeting cards are actually maybe like, so I was a business major with an art history minor. And I find that intersection comes up a lot for me of like, greeting cards to me are like little pieces of art. And there's this like piece of gift giving that I find really important. Like this idea that like someone sends you a card and it means they were thinking about you. They were somewhere in a store and they thought of you. It's like holding someone in mind in a way that I find really important. And so greeting cards have always kind of been that for me. I've been like a collector of a hoarder. But I think that wine is very similar to kind of that way of thinking about art, right? Of like, it's this intersection between the person who created it, who like had an intent, and then the person enjoying it, the person receiving the card, the person looking at the piece of art, the person drinking the wine. And that's like where the magic happens. And like, it's this totally personal experience between the producer and the person enjoying it. And I think that line comes up a lot for us in the stuff throughout the shop of like, how cool to get to experience something that was made by another human being. In this day and age, like that feels very important.
I think a lot of the thread of what we put into the shop and with the wine and the finds, as we call them, I also sometimes look at it from the receiver's perspective. Like you're saying, how cool is it to get this? Like if I were to have received this, what would it make me feel in the moment or about that person? It's like we kind of use that as a bit of a screen of like, we're bringing something in. It's not just like, is the margins good on this? Is it going to sell? Is it going to turn? You know, it's like, this is actually a meaningful thing for somebody, because we understand like our shop is not a dollar store. Like it is very much like you're going to go in and there are very like cool things and they cost money and there's an intent to it. And we want to respect that. And we want to make sure people are like, yes, I feel super cool about buying this thing.
Yeah, it's not your normal gift basket. Like, here's your couple dollar candle. It's going to turn your ceiling black.
Well, especially like coming out of like the holidays last year, like our first holiday season, obviously we didn't know what to expect. And it was amazing, especially like it takes time in today's, like especially if you have kids and your life is busy, to get in the car and drive to a brick and mortar store, like that takes time. And it meant so much to us to have people like, they're like, I'm coming here to do my Christmas shopping. And to think about like, we got to be a part of like all of those different people's holidays and their gift giving experience and their holiday meals. We're like, that's cool. That's a level of sort of like personal satisfaction that I'm not sure we even could have like really envisioned before we started.
And now walking into our family's houses, it's basically just our shop recreated. Very, very impressive.
You charge a double, right?
Yeah, 100%. Exactly.
Now, are you are you a sommelier then? Are you going to become
super taster?
Are you going to become like that?
An expert.
Okay, so I
in the future.
I waffle on this a bit. I've gone through the WSET program through level 3, and I'm waffling on level 4 because that is a next level state that I have so much respect for. But I look at it from kind of like, what's the value add to the business or to me personally? And I don't think I'm going to probably go through it. I think for me, the education is on the fly with the importers, with the winemakers, with the people who are kind of in our shop at all times. Like, I think that's the valuable education beyond what I've gone. Yeah. I felt like starting the shop, I owed it to our customers to get to a level of knowledge that they could rely on. Mm-hmm. And that the baseline's there, that, you know, I'm not just a passive consumer anymore, but really, you know, committed to this craft. But I'm never going to make wine because that is a beast that I, well, hats off. That's never. Crazy. I mean,
say never.
In the garage, maybe. but like as the retail side of this, I want people to feel comfortable and confident that we know what we're talking about. But also, you don't have to be a sommelier to do this. You can just be a really, really interested, passionate connoisseur who took a few extra steps and got there. Yeah, because I think like many jobs, the at-bats you have, right, in the moment with the people, that's the knowledge that really kind of sticks and is most like relevant to the group.
Yeah, we have so much respect for people that go through the sommelier, you know, trainer or however you approach learning about wine. But I think it does, that's sort of, I think our lens on wine is the armchair expert of like yeah. We're just huge fans, and that helps us have a different kind of conversations with our customers. About, yeah. Like, you don't have to wait to be an expert to start. Like, you can just be passionate and follow that passion and be constantly learning, like be a constant student, just like our customers are.
Yeah. One of a buddy of mine is a master sommelier. And I just shake my head with what he went through and what he knows. I'm just like, I just don't think there's enough room in my brain. Like, I just don't know how to do it. Like, that's crazy.
And there was a Netflix documentary. It came out during COVID. I can't remember the name, but the one gal kept family. And they followed a couple of different people. And it was like, oh, this is so stressful.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, it's a different beast. And respect to those who do it. But I think for us, it's just be passionate, be constantly learning.
Yeah.
And share that.
And we love to share, like, some of our favorite resources too. Like, we love, there's podcasts we love, there's books that we love. We're like, here, like, check this out. Like, again, be a student, be okay with learning, because how else are you going to dig into it? And there might be something in you that you really love.
Well, for me, like, so when we hire an employee and we give them a podcast or these books that we really enjoy, like, learning through, it's like, we'll read them, understand them, but like, there's no test at the end. Like, there's no quiz here, right? This is like, truly be a passionate consumer. But here are the resources. And I really like that, to be able to provide and have those resources for our club members, for our employees, for our family, whoever.
Yeah. Is it a little stressful finding employees? Like, it's almost like handing over a baby and being like, okay, I'm not going to work today. And I really hope you're able to answer these questions and give the same experience, because your passion really shines through from both of you, and hoping that comes out from another human.
Totally. I think we've been incredibly lucky that the shop in all aspects has just sort of drawn really great people to us. Yeah. Like, it's been one of the biggest gifts of just sort of the natural connections that it's made to people, that we're like, wow, how did you find us? Like, this is amazing. So we've been, I think, incredibly lucky with the employees that we've had. And we're, you know, still a very tiny team, but people that are community oriented, that are great communicators, that are friendly. Like, I think they seem to get our vibe. And so everyone that has come to us and joined our team, we're like, yeah, you're part of the family. I trust you with the baby.
I think for them to kind of regurgitate the story of us and kind of almost like live that story through them, like how they speak to the customers, is, again, very lucky that all of the three now, a whopping three, but they've been amazing.
Big and mighty team.
They just naturally been able to do it. They kind of understand where we're coming from. And they're not trying to make the sales process any more than what we've always just kind of had it. Like, it's just been very nice. Now, I think that is a challenge going forward. Like, we've been lucky, but going forward, as we grow, as we have events, who's staffing those events, all of that, it's going to be more challenging, but I think they're there.
But we've also been, I mean, it's been such a gift to kind of have, so Brandon's dad is a career-long retail guy, and so to be able to do this at a time that you guys do this together, and kind of like, he's such a big part of our kind of cultural fit and kind of bringing our new employees in and training them, so that it feels very family oriented, and so he's just been a great get. It's always so cool watch them work together. I'm so excited we're passionate together. It's incredible. We couldn't have done any of this without family. Like, Brandon's mom was up on ladders painting the walls, and Brandon handles all of our flowers. Like, it's very much a village.
So why don't you give us a lowdown of all the events coming up and how people sign up for them and
for sure. So yeah, we're kind of getting into our new fall menu of events. So our next one is Witchy Wine Night on October 8th. So we did this last year and it was so much fun. And people have been asking us the last couple of weeks, like, what are more witchy events coming up? So I'm like, okay, we hear you. So that's going to be a great event. So with Smashbox, so Mallory Rojas of Smashbox has been a partner of ours from the very beginning with her. So she creates grazing boxes and these beautiful grazing boards and teaches workshops. So we're going to be making a little personal charcuterie plate. We're going to be watching the craft. Yeah. And we're going to be doing some tarot readings. And then, let's see, later in October, we're hopefully, this one we haven't announced yet, but we're hopefully doing a floral class with Verbena Floral, who is actually our very first class we ever did. And we're going to do like a pumpkin succulent arrangement. And then the champagne class
Champagne is also in November.
Yes. And then going into the holidays, we're just starting to kind of think about what's going to happen there, but we'll have some fun stuff going on. And you could always find our events. So on our website, we have an event calendar, and that's where all the ticket registration happens. But then in the shop, we usually have like flyers or QR codes, or we have a calendar out front so you can always see what's going on. And yeah, I think what else? Wine Club, actually. So November is our next wine club. So people register by the end of October, and then they're in for November. And I feel like November, you're planning to do some really like great holiday bottles so that you're ready for Thanksgiving, you're ready for Christmas, which will be really awesome.
Yep. And one of the things I like doing in the holiday club is holiday style wine, but maybe something that you wouldn't think of. So from places you wouldn't think of or varietals you wouldn't think of, and more importantly, pairings you wouldn't think of. So just, again, expanding your horizon into... I definitely don't like Chardonnay. Well, let's try something different. I might feel, you know, that is Chardonnay, but it doesn't taste like a Chardonnay. It was just little things like that where you're able to expand people's kind of mindset on wine.
Yeah. And hopefully doing a lot of private events too. Yeah. That's been fun. People are always just going to reach out about holiday flight events. So, yeah, we're really excited to share the space with people that way too.
Wow. You are busy, busy.
You got a few things going on.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure getting to know all about everything that VNVin is doing. And I'm guessing the website's VNVin.com.
Yes. Correct. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I know people say, how do you pronounce it? And we always say, how about you?
You did it how we do it.
Yes. Yeah, it's V-I-E and V-I-N, life and wine.
Okay.
You know, again, wine and context. That's what we're all about.
Cool.
Well, this has been super fun.
Thank you, guys. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Come on.
All right, cheers.